It's quite amazing. Do you want to sit down? Just sit down. It was incredible, so incredible, I had to write it all down, otherwise I'd forget bits. Okay, so there was this man called Jesus walking over by the tombs in the region of Gadarenes. Not a pleasant place for a walk, I don't think. As he approached the tomb, these two men came rushing out to him. They were really dirty, with holes in their shoes, ripped shirts. They smelt a bit bad as well. They were living worse than animals in caves. The townspeople treated them very badly, and they tried to stone them, ridicule them, and run them out of town. But they didn't seem to care. They didn't really think they were worth the effort. They were in an awful state. They were filled with demons. They were horribly tormented by them. Anyway, they confronted Jesus. When the demons saw Jesus, they cried out in fear. One of the men began slightly rocking from side to side, his fist clenching and unclenching, his face contorted with both hatred and fear. He crouched down and leant forward like an animal about to spring. Then the other man's demons asked him, "Why are you here, Jesus? To torture us before our time? If we have to leave, let us go into that herd of pigs. Now, children, somewhere at the back of the room is a herd of pigs. It's in a bowl, so can you go and have a look and get one? But don't do anything, just hold it. Go, you need to find it quickly, though. There's a herd of pigs somewhere in the back of the room. On a table, maybe. In a small bowl. It's a small herd of pigs. That's it. So you just get one pig and hold on to it and bring it back to your seat, but don't do anything with it yet. Brilliant. Well done. Okay. Jesus was very impressive. He replied firmly and loudly. He said, "Go!" Then you'll never guess what happened next. The first man yelled very loudly with the voice of demons as they are leaving. Then he fell to his knees. And the demons left the men and entered the pigs. And the pigs ran violently down the steep hill into the nearby lake and drowned. So now, children, you can eat your pigs. Brilliant, well done. Next, the yelling man knelt down and helped his friend, who was still kneeling, to stand. They both appeared quite dazed, and each man looked into the face of the other with wonder and joy. Goodness, it was a sight. The pig men were so startled by all this activity and what had happened to their pigs that they ran off into the town and told everyone what had happened to the two demon-possessed men and to their herd of pigs. The townspeople came to meet Jesus and begged him to leave. I thought this was the most extraordinary thing. This whole thing that happened was incredible and amazing, and I can't quite explain it.
Got my sheriff's badge. Right. So life out in the Wild West is pretty rough. Might look exciting. Might look like an adventure to you guys from Ipswich. But I'm telling you, life out in the Wild West is real tough. I think I'm going to go back to ordinary UK. But anyway, the Wild West. The Wild West. I'm sure you've all heard of the Wild West. And as you saw there from that video clip, life in the Wild West might have looked like a lot of adventure out there. opportunity, but it was full of danger. It was a wild place, full of danger. It was lawless and violent, and people behaved in crazy ways. And I want you to just bear that in mind this morning as we think about our Bible reading. So, hang on, just turn that on. You see, that's what the Wild West was like, a place of danger and gunfights. So keep that image in mind as we think about this morning's Bible story. Jesus and the disciples, as we just heard, they'd arrived in the region of the Gadarenes. And if you want to follow the story, some people like to follow it, it's Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. And they'd just been on a boat ride. Do you remember? They'd been on a boat ride, the disciples. And it had been absolutely dreadful. The worst boat journey you can imagine. The worst boat journey. And they thought they were going to die. These disciples, who were fishermen, a lot of them, thought they were going to die. They must have been so relieved to finally set foot on land. They were back on dry land, safe at last. And then they looked up, and what did they see? They saw the most terrifying sight, didn't they? The most terrifying sight. They looked up and saw two demon-possessed men coming at them from the tombs. Incredibly violent men. Men who were likely to do you harm. Men you'd be very frightened of. Perhaps they were carrying weapons like these two ugly brutes. It was worse than anything from the disciples' worst nightmare. And you can picture the disciples, can't you? Suddenly they were looking back at the boat thinking, we'd rather take our chances back in the boat. Let's jump back in the boat. It was awful. It was awful. And this morning we've got to think, why was it so bad? Why was it like the Wild West? They were entering a place just as wild as the Wild West. They'd sailed to the Gadarenes, or the region of the Gerasenes, it's sometimes called. It was a place outside the boundaries of Israel. Outside the boundaries of Israel. It was beyond the frontier, if you like, of God's kingdom. You'll know that Israel was God's kingdom in the Old Testament. And it was steeped in the life of God and in the history of the people of Israel. It had the temple, worship and sacrifices. It was a bright light of God's presence in the world. But now they'd crossed over to the region of the Gerasenes. Oh, wrong way. Yeah, so they crossed over to the Wild West, you see. And it was just at the top of the purple area there. Just at the top of the purple area called the Decapolis. You can just see Gergesa, perhaps, just above the purple area. They crossed over the frontier into this Gentile, pagan world. And it was really, really dark there. You see, wherever there are people, there's spiritual activity. And outside the kingdom of God, outside Israel, all kinds of spirits were there, were present. And those spirits in that place were not helping people into the life and the love of God. They were rebellious spirits. They were against God. They were against his truth. And they kept people in ignorance, in darkness, separated from the life of God. Now, some of these spirits were more frightening, really frightening. Like the demons inside these men who came out hollering and yelling and screaming. Other spirits were more subdued and restrained. Like the spirits, perhaps, that did you notice that the people came out and very politely asked Jesus to leave the area? Do you remember that? They asked him politely to leave, but they were all against him. They were all against him. This was a place where the spirits sunk the people to the lowest forms of life, where the people were virtually driven to death. in different ways. We saw, didn't we, that the Wild West was a place of gunfights and violence and destruction in many ways. And this was a region of death. The two men, did you notice, they lived among the graves, it said. They had been driven away from friendships and family and all the kind of things we associate with life. They hadn't got any purpose to their lives. One account in the Gospels says they were self-harming, cutting themselves. They were harming their own lives. And we saw, didn't we, when the demons came out of the men into the pigs, what did the pigs do? They rushed straight to their deaths. You see, these demons were driving them to death. And even the polite people, they'd lost all real human sensitivity, hadn't they? They didn't seem to care about these two men on the fringe of their neighborhood. Either they couldn't really help them, or they didn't really want to help them. All they seemed to care about was their business. All they cared about was their money, their business. And that's why they'd separated themselves off from those ragamuffins over on the hill, those nobodies, those people on the sink estate up there by the graveyard. And I think this is a really good reminder, this story, of what happens in the wild world outside God's kingdom. God's kingdom revolves, doesn't it, around his king, Jesus, and his truth. Where his truth is and his spirit, there's life, there's peace, there's joy, there's friendships, there's love, there's care. But outside God's kingdom, it's a wilderness. It's lawless, it's dark. And in that wilderness, people live under the power of other spirits. Anything can happen to them. They may be very polite, civilized people, but they might want Jesus to leave their area. Please, they say politely, please leave. Leave, Jesus, leave medical ethics. Leave our school education. Stay out of the media. They may even ask him to leave Christmas. You come across that. But the spirits can be incredibly wild as well, can't they? Outside God's kingdom, they can be really wild. We've seen it in Ipswich with rising violence on our streets. And it's a problem across this country, isn't it? A rise in antisocial behavior as a real trend among young people who are getting more violent, more frightening to some, in some senses, more ungovernable. No one knows what to do. Nothing that anyone tries seems to help. Now, it's interesting if you look at the other cultures that around the world that have existed and the kinds of things they've done. Think of the Aztecs or the Incas or the ancient Greeks. You may not even have to go that far back. We've been reading a book at home about Burma in the 19th century and what it was like. The king at that time in the 19th century could order people in their hundreds to be buried alive. That is what the world can be like outside God's kingdom. It's full of spiritual activity. It's not a benign, happy place. Evil spirits are still at large and always have been, driving people to wildness. Now, in this country, we're coming to sing in a minute, but just before we sing, in this country, we've been able to forget that for a long time. Because we've been able to forget how wild people become when they're under the power of other spirits. And that's because this country, for several hundred years, has been so saturated by the truth about Jesus, by the presence of a vibrant church, by the church and the Christian message embedded within the life of the church. Those spirits virtually have gone into hiding. We were saved in many ways from their power over the people of this land. But now, if you can imagine that picture without the Red Cross, now the gospel is being increasingly marginalized, isn't it? And if the voice of Jesus and the message of the gospel continues to fade from public life, what can we expect to happen? I know that many of the younger followers of Jesus, perhaps among us and across the country, they find it hard in the playground. They find it hard. The amount of swearing they hear isn't nice. What other children might talk about makes you feel uncomfortable. Perhaps it isn't kind. Perhaps they make fun of Christian assemblies or anything that you hear about Jesus. And it can be really frightening, I should think. Perhaps as adults, we even feel frightened about those kind of things. But at that time, those times, we've got to remember where we are. We've got to remember where we are. That actually, it's a spiritual Wild West out there. It's a spiritual Wild West. And it can be a bit frightening. We're going to sing a song, and then there's going to be a little bit more about this. So thanks, Adrian. Would you like to stand? Would you like to have your seats? So Jesus' friends must have wanted to get straight back in the boat that afternoon or that evening. It was probably quite late at night as well, which would have made it even more scary, wouldn't it? They probably wanted to sail away back to the safety of Israel. And that's what some people want to do today, isn't it? When they see how dark the world is out there, they want to stay in the safety of God's kingdom, in the church. The church isn't perfect, is it? Things go wrong in churches. Of course they do. But relatively speaking, it feels like such a safe place where you're surrounded by other people who are being influenced by the good news about Jesus and shaped by his Holy Spirit. But that's not what Jesus did, is it? That's not what Jesus did. He didn't tell the disciples, quick, run for it, boys, back on the boat. He stayed there in that wild place for as long as he could. And he helped those whose lives were really broken. He stayed there as long as he could. And this story is really wonderful. This is what we're going to get across today. Because it shows the power of Jesus over the evil spirits in that place. It might have been their patch. And the people there might have been their possession. But they knew, these spirits knew who Jesus was, didn't they? And they knew it was really his patch. Wherever he goes, it's his patch. And people really belong to him by rights. And they knew that it was to Jesus they would have to give an account one day in the future. They even had to ask his permission to do anything at all, didn't they? About the pigs, do you remember? They had to ask him, please, can we go there? That is how awesome Jesus is. And the demons tremble before him. All those mischievous, evil spirits at work in the world, they recognize him and they fall before him. And he controls them, doesn't he? With just a word. He just says one word, go. And they run off like dogs, don't they? Scampering off with their tails between their legs. The other great thing is that same word that Jesus speaks, that sends the demons packing, is the word that saves those two men from their possession. I think that's the best thing about this story. I think that's the best thing about this story. How these two ruined men, oppressed, they were scarcely men at all, were they? They heard his word and they were delivered and set free. One of the gospels says that when the townsfolk came out, they found them dressed. They found these men dressed and in their right minds. You know, before Jesus came, they were scarcely men at all. Shadows of men. And now they were fully recovered. To the point which there was not a trace of the bad stuff of the past. And I think they would have become really amazing people. You know, it says, the Gospels say they went off to become evangelists, telling their story about how low their lives had sunk. And then how Jesus had met with them and spoken a word to them and set them free. What a great testimony. They would have been really interesting people to meet. You'd have really, you know, you'd have felt very comfortable with them, not afraid at all. They would have been really whole, rounded people. And it was Jesus that did it. Jesus did that. Nothing else. Just Jesus and his words in their lives. And that, I think, is a really powerful combination for us. To get a hold of Jesus' power over evil spirits and his power to put broken lives back together again. Because it gives us confidence. It gives us confidence, doesn't it? That Jesus is in charge And no dark power is stronger than he is. And he's doing wonderful things in the world. And that's why God's people have never been content just to stay in the safety of the church. When you look down history, they've always been outgoing, bold people, daring people who've dared to go out with the good news of Jesus to those still in darkness. The first disciples did it. Do you know the disciple Thomas is said to have gone to India? Think of that. Think what India might have been like. Who knows? Who knows what India was like 2,000 years ago? And he went boldly with the message of Jesus and planted the church there. Missionaries throughout the ages, they've gone out boldly to lands that have been very far from the truth and knowledge of the living God, and they've gone boldly. One of these men is Adoniram Judson, who went to Burma, that place I told you about earlier, in the 19th century, this place where they buried people alive in sand. And he went there, risking his life, and against great odds, he managed to see a few people converted, and the Burmese church just began to grow. Amazing. And they went there because they realized Jesus is in charge of whatever scary things might be out there. And most of all, they went knowing that he brings transformation. And he saves people from the tyrannies they're under. He brings people from death to life, from ruin to recovery. They went because they wanted to see people whole and healed. Sorry, excuse me. We could all feel, couldn't we? We could all feel ever so safe just coming to church, trying to stay safe in a wild world, shutting the door to what's beyond. But we know, don't we, that the Lord Jesus is in charge. And we know the transformation he can bring, the wonderful things he can do for broken lives, restoring the ruined. And that's why we're trying to open our church, aren't we? And share our lives with those outside. Munch and Make, Kids Rock, Food for Thought, Holiday Bible Club, loads of other things, Coffee Pot. And that's why we're not only sharing our lives, but we're speaking the word of Jesus to all. Because we know that as we do that, you know, some of our activities and events, 3-2-1 course, or as we do it in our workplace, Jesus has power. He has power to break the darkness. He has power to transform people's lives. He did it in the region of the Gadarenes, didn't he? He did it in the region of the Gadarenes. Why can't he do it in Gainsborough? He can still do it in Gainsborough. He could do it on the Nacton Road. He could do it up there, couldn't he, where those terrible things happened a few weeks ago. He could do it around Back Hamlet. He can do it wherever we are. That is our confidence. That's our confidence. So we're going to go boldly. Speaking the word of Jesus, we're going to do it this week at Holiday Bible Club. We'll hear a bit more about that in a minute. But now we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song which captures what we've been thinking about this morning, about Jesus' great power.